Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Burns Postgame Show.
Cole Reagans dials up a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. He sets a new career high with 12 strikeouts.
Brought to you by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods is helping thousands of Midwestern families save time, stretch dollars, and eat healthier since 1958. And you can, too. Call 913-888-5000 or visit GuaranteedFoods.com.
Swing and a chopper left side. Garcia's got it with a dive. Spins, throws, in time!
This is your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Here's your Royals insider, Josh Fournier.
Yeah, I'm here. I'll tell you what, watching all these young Royals fans walk past my booth after enjoying the fireworks is giving me life right now. Without these smiling faces walking by this booth, man, good thing they moved me to this booth, or else an aggravating night would lead to an aggravating post-game show. I'll try not to do that. Royals lose the opener to the first place Tigers. 7-5 the final score. Let me give you the phone number right out of the gate. Phone number, same as our text line number, 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. If you were one of the near 29,000 in attendance tonight, we're not going to make you wait on hold. In fact, I can't get to these phone calls soon enough. So again, 913-586-7965. If you missed the On Deck show earlier today, if you missed my thoughts going into this weekend battle with the team atop the division, I had two goals. One is obvious. You're at home. You have division title aspirations. You have World Series aspirations. Go win the series. Protect your home field. So obviously the first goal is to take 2 of 3, is to maintain home field advantage, right? You drop 3 of 4 in Motown, you might as well save some face here at the K. So that was goal number one. And it remains goal number one. I know they face Tarek Skubal tomorrow. They've beaten Tarek Skubal before. They've beaten Tarek Skubal this season. Waka goes tomorrow, and then one of the 10 best pitchers on the planet so far this season, Chris Bubich, on the hill for the good guys in the finale on Sunday afternoon. So goal number one, win the series, is still alive. But goal number two, as, let's be realistic, what in the world have we seen from this offense to believe to have the type of confidence we expected to have walking into Kauffman Stadium? What have you seen from this team to realistically think that they are going to outplay Detroit twice in a three-day span? So my second goal is don't get punked. Don't embarrass yourself. And I don't mean embarrass yourself by losing, because you can lose all three games and play high-quality baseball and just fall short against another really good team. And the Detroit Tigers are, no question about it, a really good team. Maybe the best team in the American League. You dive into the numbers say that's exactly what they are. But my second goal was don't get punked. Because I think a few times this season the Rose have been punked. I think the Cardinals punked them. I think the Guardians punked them. But it was early. It was not understandable, not acceptable. But it happened. The boys moved on. They picked themselves up. But Detroit plays with an aggression. Offensively on the base paths, defensively with the way that they use their bullpen, they're an aggressive team. I made mention of it earlier today. They remind me of that championship bunch of 2015. The way that they wanted to embarrass you, run through you, make you bleed, make you hurt for stepping on the same diamond as them. So I'll be honest, I was worried that the Royals would get punked in this series. So again, my two goals, win the series and don't get punked. You have to do one of those two things. If you do the first, you obviously did the second. If you don't do the first, my God, you better do the second. Now, tonight's loss, to me, there was nothing about it that says, oh boy, am I embarrassed to be a Royals fan. No. No, tonight was a loss. A loss that followed a very familiar formula. Now, real quick, there's no assurance that the Royals won't get punked in this series. Two games to go. Let's see the fight. Let's see the toughness. Let's see the strength of Matt Quatrero's boys. I can't wait till tomorrow. As far as tonight, I mean, what do you want me to say? It's the same thing I said almost on every single postgame show. The guys that you were banking on being clutch in 2025 have been awful in the clutch situations. The Royals tonight go 2-for-11 with runners in scoring position. Following that performance, they are now dead last in Major League Baseball with an OPS of 599 with runners in scoring position. 599. All right. League average is 715. Royals are dead last, 30 out of 30, the worst hitting team with runners in scoring position. Last year, they were top five. Top five in baseball. This year, dead freaking last. And who do we blame? Not the offense. Who do we blame? Who am I blaming? Vinny and Salvi. It's the I hate to keep doing it, but it's just so transparent. Nobody in Major League Baseball has more at-bats with a runner in scoring position than Vinny and Salvi. They each have 69 at-bats with a runner in scoring position. Nobody in the sport has more. Vinny's hitting .188. Salvi's hitting .217. I mentioned league average OPS is .715. Out of the 168 qualified hitters in Major League Baseball, Vinny ranks 156th with an OPS of 534 in those big spots. Salvi ranks 146th. These guys were top 15 in the sport last year. This year, they're bottom 15 in the sport. You can't overcome that. Nobody in the sport can overcome their 3 and 4 hitters gagging consistently in the big spots. That was the story of this game tonight. Now, you want to point to Michael Garcia? Save it. I know he had an opportunity. The guy's been outstanding in those spots. He's done it more times than he hasn't. Vinny and Salvi have not. Vinny's big opportunity comes in the fourth. Salvi's comes in the sixth. Neither come through, and you lose by two. It's the same old story. Now, I wish there was someone else you could turn to for a 3-4 hitter, but that's not Jack Caglione yet. Yet. Either Vinny and Salvi turn it around, or else I got to do this exact same postgame show 104 more times. All right, I'm sorry. Let me get to the phone calls. 913-586-7965. Let's go to Sullivan in Kansas City. Sullivan, you're hitting leadoff. Go ahead.
Hey, so, I mean, you know, it's pretty hard when you spot him four runs in the first two innings. But you got to give Lugo some respect. I think he'll come back stronger than he was in the first couple starts because just coming off the injury, you know, that kind of stuff. And honestly, with Salvi, having to do with Salvi, I think that, you know, he's leading the league in pitches swung at outside of the zone. I don't know if you know that or not, but I think he just needs to see pitches. Last year, he was seeing pitches. He was making good ABs, and he's just not doing that this year. And that's what makes a clutch player. He knows how to handle himself in those situations, and he's just not acting like that right now.
That's but, well said. Like you said. Hard to argue.
Like you said, you know, there's 104 games left, and it's only May, right? So they have a lot of time, you know, to get into it, to get into the groove of things. And once we get spinning, hopefully it'll be the dog days when everybody else is kind of slowing down, you know, giving their dudes rest. And, I mean, you know, the Caglione take, I think that was a really good take. I don't think we should bring him up just yet. But, you know, when it's time, it's time. So, yeah.
Sullivan, I appreciate the phone call, buddy. Great stuff. Great job. Opens up a phone line for you. 913-586-7965. If you're wondering what Jack Caglione did tonight, he did the damn thing. That's what he did. Are you kidding me? Really? You're going to ask me that question? What did Jack Caglione do? He went 2-for-4 tonight. First trip to the dish, Cags on an 0-1 pitch, a curveball in the middle of the plate. I'll let Nicholas Batters tell you more.
0-1. Launched high in the air, hit well to the right center field. Back in the alley. That ball's out of here. Jack Caglione takes a trip around the bases. A two-run homer into the Storm Chasers center field bullpen. Makes this a 3-1 Omaha lead in the bottom of the first. 442 feet. A curveball down the middle. He hits it 108 miles an hour to center.
So Cags hits his sixth home run of the season with Alex Gold and Dusty Likens in the building. The next time he comes to the plate, he strikes out swinging on a 2-2 curveball down and out of the zone. His third trip to the plate, a first pitch elevated fastball. He hits it well but flies out to left field. Fourth trip to the dish, he's down 0-2. But works a walk, a seven-pitch battle, and Cags finds his way to first base. And then his fifth and final trip to the dish, a first-pitch heater, 99 down at the shoe tops. I mean down. It's a ball. But he's so big, so strong, he goes down and he singles to center field. So another two-hit night for Jack Caglione, 2-for-4. He's batting .341 in his first 10 games at the AAA level, and his OPS is just shy of 1,200. Wow. Let's go back to the phone calls. Royals lose 7-5 in Game 1 to the Tigers. We go to Jake in Kansas City. Jake, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to talk about the reliever that came in. I thought that he showed a lot of mental toughness from Chicago. I forget his name, but
Andrew Hoffman. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, to get the 4Ks after a pretty rough start, but you know we kept it reasonable, and they got a couple of those back at least, or got one of them back anyway. And I just have a question. I'm kind of a noob, and I hope you don't hate this question, but when the Detroit challenged the foul ball, what would have been the result had it gone their way? And I'll listen off it.
Yeah, good question, Jake. I believe the umpires decide amongst themselves where the base runner would have been had the call been properly made. So, runner would have been on second base. I think they would have called that a double. Andrew Hoffman, yeah. Jake, great job, man. No doubt about it. To me, I know Michael had three hits, but he also had an error. Drew Waters drove in three. I guess I could go Drew Waters, but man, Jake makes such a good point. To me, the Guaranteed Foods player of the game is the rookie that made his big league debut tonight, Andrew Hoffman. Now, his ERA is not going to reflect someone that should be awarded a prize of any sort. But like Jake points out, Andrew Hoffman, big league debut, gives up a home run to the first dude he faces, a 436-foot no-doubter. And then he gives up a rocket double, two batters later, an RBI single, and just like that, two runs are already in. He's recorded only one out. But Hoffman strikes out Andy Ibañez, blows 95 past Kerry Carpenter, comes back out in the ninth inning to pick the team up after throwing 25 pitches in the eighth. And immediately, Michael Garcia makes an errant throw, and there's a base runner on, even though the rookie made his pitch. Errant throw by Michael. Vinny's, I'm sure, kicking himself. He knows he needs to dig that one out. So the corner infielders can't help the rookie out, but he does the rest himself. With that man on first after the leadoff error from his gold glove caliber third baseman, Hoffman locks in, strikes out Colt Keith, strikes out Riley Green, and gets that man that homered off of him an inning earlier, gets Spencer Torkelson to fly out to end the ninth. Andrew Hoffman showing that nerve, poise, unflappable nature about him. Way to go. Way to go. The 25-year-old is tonight's Guaranteed Foods Player of the Game, and for being named Player of the Game, we're going to hook him up with a delicious gourmet dinner for two from Guaranteed Foods to prepare and enjoy at home. Congratulations again to our Guaranteed Foods Player of the Game, Andrew Hoffman. We go back to the phone calls. Connor in Leavenworth. Connor, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I could be better.
Yeah. Me too.
You know, I'm not trying to be a hater, but Michael Massey is a bottom three hitter in the league. And I think there's probably 100 second basemen playing professional baseball right now that could hit better than him. And I might rather have Chris Getson there right now.
Yeah. Hey, all right. Well, we got you down, Connor. I'm not going to fight you. I mean, I disagree with the numbers that you put out there of how many, but yeah, listen, tonight's not the night to wave the Michael Massey flag, that's for sure. 0-for-3 with a walk and three punchouts. You know, I give you those numbers of how bad Salvi and Vinny have been with runners in scoring position, and they have. Michael Massey's even worse. But Michael Massey wasn't being banked on the same way that Vinny and Salvi are. Don't get it confused. They were still relying on Michael Massey heavily coming into the season, right? This was the number five hitter. This was the protector for Salvador Perez. But to go back to that statistic, OPS with runners in scoring position, of the 168 qualified hitters in the big leagues, Michael Massey's eighth worst. He ranks 161st out of 168 hitters. Yeah, he's already fallen from the five spot to the eight spot. He was hitting so poorly, they moved him to left field to try and accommodate Jonathan India. India, by the way, another multi-hit night. India's third straight multi-hit game. He has 8 of his 12 multi-hit games here in the month of May, a month in which he's batting .275 and has that on-base percentage back to his career norm. His on-base percentage here in the month of May is .353. Let's go to Richard in Maryville. Richard, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Happy Friday.
Yeah, right back at you, buddy. How are you?
Hey, long time, first time.
Good to have you.
I wanted to pick up on a theme that you mentioned earlier. The top three guys are just scuttling, and we've got all these young kids coming up that are holding serve. What are we to make of that, man? I mean,
Who are you talking about? What do you mean holding serve?
Well, I'm talking about Noah Cameron. I'm talking about Andrew Hoffman. I'm talking about these young arms that are coming up and pitching.
The pitching's awesome.
How the pitching has continued and how the hitting I'm saying it's Bobby and Salvi and Vinny. These are all-star caliber hitters, and we have rookie 4A pitchers kind of outshining them this season. What are we to make of that?
Well, that's the pitching's really good and the hitting's not good. That's been the case all season. I don't know. You make of it whatever you want. Noah Cameron's more than a 4A pitcher, by the way. Noah Cameron's doing some historic stuff. Thanks for the phone call, Richard. Yeah, Bobby's not the problem. You know, Bobby doesn't get lumped in there with Vinny and Salvi. If you guys want to do that, go for it. Now, Bobby's numbers are reflective of an all-star, not an MVP. I agree. His numbers are down from last year. But they should be. Because what idiot is going to pitch to Bobby Witt Jr. when behind him in the lineup is a bunch of nobodies? If you're A.J. Hinch, who do they play next? St. Louis? If you're Ollie Marmol and you're getting ready to face this Royals team? All right. I mean, you sleep so easy, right? All right, don't pitch to Bobby. And now I'm going to bed. I mean, it's a pretty simple game plan. Bobby tonight goes 1-for-5. Hits a 442-foot home run in the first, a 107-mile-per-hour ground ball back up the middle that is a ground out, a 102-mile-per-hour rocket to deep center field, a 104-mile-per-hour rocket to the left side that goes down as a fielder's choice, and then a 103-mile-per-hour rocket back up the middle that, again, goes as a ground ball out. So he's still making loud contact, but they're not going to make a mistake to this guy. If they do, it's going to be early. And when the game is close, you're not going to allow Bobby to beat you, because why would you? The guy behind him is hitting a .188 with runners in scoring position. Put him on. Let him run around a second. Let him steal third. The guy behind him's not driving him in. And then the future Hall of Famer hitting behind him is hitting .217. Keep Bobby out of this. Has Bobby expanded his zone on occasion? No doubt about it. But what else is he supposed to do? He's trying as hard as he can to carry this offense. He's getting some help from a Mike Hell, from an Isbell, from a Drew Waters, which is nice. I need some freaking power. I need some thump. Who has thump on this team? MJ's gone. Renfro's gone. Massey's your eight hitter. These were guys that you were hoping to get some thump from. In addition to Vinny and Salvi, who are supplying none of it. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Seth in Leawood. Seth, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all right. How are you?
Could be better. Could be better. I'll have to say my biggest takeaway from today, the past five games, Salvi is 3-for-19. I think it's about time that we bench him, bring up Freddie Fermin, starting him over Salvi, because Salvi hasn't been productive at all.
Okay. All right. Well, Seth, we have you down. It's not an original thought. Someone mentioned that a few days ago, is you guys just let a $22 million player off the hook like that? I mean, how soft are you guys? We're now benching Salvi instead of holding his feet to the fire and saying, pick it up, big fella. Where do you think this team's going without Salvi? Yeah, put Freddie in there. Put some more Punch and Judy's in there. Let's do it. Yeah, let's see this team rattle off four straight singles. Come on. All right. What are you guys watching? Salvi's making $22 million. Earn it. I mean, I love Freddie Freeman. Yeah, I mean, okay, fine. You want to put him in the lineup more often? Okay. If you think Freddie Freeman in the lineup every single day and Salvi on the bench every single day is going to get this team out of the basement of Major League Baseball's offensive statistics, I got another story for you. And you guys remember the way that Freddie, over the course of last season, the more and more that he played, the more he became exposed. Maybe it's different. Maybe it changed. But you know what? Hey, this is what, the lowest scoring Royals offense in franchise history through the first 58 games? I guess I should go back to my stock response when something as silly as that is said. And that stock response is, well, there are no bad ideas. When your offense is this bad, there are no bad ideas. So, Seth, good call, man. There are no bad ideas. Royals lose 7-5. We get back to your thoughts after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
One strike pitch. Belted to deep left center. Back goes Green. He's at the wall. He won't get this one. Gone. Bobby Witt Jr. Home run number 6. So the Tiger lead cut in half.
That's as close as the Royals would get. They're within one run, down 2-1 after Bobby's 6th home run of the season. They would face a one-run deficit again in the third inning, 4-3 Tigers lead, but they would lose 7-5, a back-and-forth affair that never saw the Royals in front. They trailed 2-0 going to the bottom of the first when Bobby belted that 0-1 slurve in the middle of the dish, just belted. 442 feet, same distance that Jack Caglione hit his home run earlier tonight. The only difference was Cags' home run came off the bat 108 miles per hour. Bobby's came off the bat 112 miles per hour. So 2-1 Tigers at the end of one. Detroit would get two more in the second, but the Royals would get two of their own in the third. So 4-3 Tigers at the end of three, 5-3 Detroit at the end of five. Mikel Garcia with a leadoff triple in the seventh. He comes around to score as Mark Canha fights a 96-mile-per-hour fastball up and in. He fights it to right field for the sac fly. The sack fly in the seventh from Canna made it 5-4 Detroit. Tigers would get two more in the eighth. Royals would score one in the ninth. And that's how we arrive at our final score. Tigers 7, Royals 5. Royals now two games above 500 with a record of 30-28. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. Bobby's solo blast in the first, his 30th extra base hit of the season. That's seventh most in Major League Baseball. My game notes are brought to you by Jays Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jays Southland Tow. Bobby's homer there, also his 65th base hit of the season. That's top 10 in the sport, second best on his own team. Mikel Garcia now with the most hits, the best batting average, and the highest OPS on the squad. Bobby's Blast is our MVP air conditioning cool play of the game. It's brought to you by MVP Air Conditioning, plumbing, heating, and electric. Get your AC ready for summer and running efficiently with a tune-up for only $39. Go to the MVPKC.com or call 913-322-0868 today. MVP, one call does it all. We go to Patrick, who was one of the near 29,000 in the building tonight. Patrick, what's your takeaway from this Royals loss?
I know we hear Q say a lot that you're going to win 50 and you're going to lose 50 and you got to figure out what you do with the other 50. But that's the 50 you lose are supposed to be with full effort. It felt like Q decided that this was going to be a loss before the game even started. Why in the world would you bat your designated hitter eighth? Why in the world would you bring in a major league debut down one in the eighth inning to pitch? He had four very nice strikeouts after he blew the game already. So felt like this was a manager loss where he had given up on us having any chance of winning and wanted to just see what some people could do. That's all I have.
Well, hang on, Patrick. What would you have done instead? Okay, so you don't want Massey in the lineup, or you just didn't want him as the DH?
I don't want Massey as the DH. If he's going to pinch hit for Canna, why isn't Canna the DH?
No, Massey didn't pinch hit. He was the designated Canna, hitter.
Canna pinch hit.
For John Rave, correct?
If you're going to pinch hit Canna, make him the DH.
He pinch hit for John Rave, who was the right fielder. Not for Michael Massey. Who did you want as the DH instead of Michael Massey? Oh, he just hung up? Okay. All right. Well, Patrick, I'm sorry, but I watched the game, so I'm trying to have a conversation with you. I'm not just going to go along with it. So the eight hitter is a white flag? That's a pretty weak phone call, Patrick, to put this on the eight hitter and the rookie making his big league debut that came into the game with his team down already with an offense that had done nothing to earn. I don't know exactly who you wanted him to turn to there in the eighth inning. Yeah, I mean, we all have the benefit of hindsight. You shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have started Seth Lugo. I mean, what are you talking about? You have solutions, or are you just pointing out two guys that didn't have a great night? Seems like you're cherry-picking a bit, Patrick. But I appreciate you listening, buddy. Let's go to Chad in Liberty. Chad, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Burn, my man. Appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir.
We are on our way back from Omaha tonight, where we got to go watch Jack play. When that dude makes contact with the ball, just lightning strikes, man. That was incredible. And honestly, I was most impressed with the way that he legged that last one out. The guy's got more speed than we think. But I'm telling you right now, there's nothing else coming behind him at the moment. We've got to get something figured out. We cannot sustain an outfield of the group of guys that we have. What was it earlier this week? We had a game with with an opener. We had our DH was the leadoff hitter. We have both of Raven and Waters as our corner outfielders. We are sitting on a surplus of pitchers at the moment, which, you know, hey, for the when have we ever really been able to say that? And we've got a couple catchers down in the minor leagues that are should be coming up before too long. But, you know, we're going to have to make some bold moves. We got to get somebody. We got to get some. You're 100% right. We got to get some thump. But most importantly, we need to throw a damn jersey on Moose tomorrow. Have him sit in the dugout with these guys and get them fired up, and maybe even have him run on the field and punch someone. How Bobby didn't punch that, was it, Nate Burleson that hit that home run and then did his home run trot right in his face? How Bobby didn't drop him right then and there is beyond me. He's got more patience than I do, I guess. But, I mean, several different times this year, India getting hit in the face, India getting cleated hard. Where's the fight in these guys? There's just none. I don't want to say they don't care, but it's just like they're going through the motions right now. And a good old fashioned downy bra, I think, is what we need right now.
I'm nodding my head with a lot of the things you're saying, Chad. I appreciate the phone call. Listen, I can't get with you yet, but this is what I'm alluding to, or this is what I was alluding to in the open. Open of the postgame show and my conversation with you earlier today on the On Deck Show. Two goals this weekend. I have two goals for this team. Number one, because I still view them as a division title October-bound ball club, because those are the stated goals from everyone in Royal Blue. They're not running from it. We want to get back to the playoffs. We want to win the division. We want to go further than we did last year. We want to win the whole darn thing. Two goals. Number one, win the series. You're at home. You consider yourself a playoff team. Well, then I don't care who's in the other dugout. The expectation is you take 2 of 3. And they still can do that, right? Waka tomorrow, Bubic in the finale. I feel good about that. Didn't use Carlos Estevez. You're going to have him ready to go? All right. So that's goal number one. Number two is don't get punked. I've watched enough of this Tiger team to know they play with aggression. An aggression that you're talking about, Chad. The aggression of a Mike Moustakas. Mike Moustakas in those 2015 Kansas City Royals could punk teams. They did quite often. In that run, Royals were not punked tonight. They showed fight. They had good body language. Wouldn't say great body language, not what I was hoping to see, but they had good body language. By the end of this series, I might be saying something similar, Chad. I might be questioning the toughness of. Might be. I'm not yet. It's one game. Big weekend, nice litmus test as far as the mettle of this team, the competitiveness, the grit, the scratch and claw nature of this ball club. Is this who they're going to be? Is this who we need to accept them as? A scratch and claw offense with absolutely zero thump? I'm not there yet, Chad, but we're on similar wavelengths. I appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Mike and Shawnee. Mike, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Earlier you were talking about Vinny and Sal and their struggles at the plate when there's runners in scoring position. Definitely hear you there, share your frustration. I was peeking at StatCast, and StatCast shows Sal and Vinny being pretty unlucky. Sal in particular, he's hitting.
Yeah, I know that. I didn't see that with Vinny.
Yeah, it's unfavorable to him. He's unlucky, but definitely Sal, where you know his expected batting average is 70 points higher. I think it's like close to 300 expected,
right. Yep.
And his expected slugging is almost 200 points higher. My question to you is, like, do you have any insight or observations into what changes in their approach, or is there something when they come to the plate and there are runners in scoring position? Anything to offer there?
I think they might be pitching Salvi a little bit different. They're pitching him in more, getting a little bit more ground balls? No, I mean, nothing that jumps out. Nothing, you know, what the hell do I know? No, because, I mean, look, I mean, Vinny's hitting 330 here in the month of May. He has an on-base streak of 16 games, so it's not as if Vinny stinks. You know, he's got his numbers back to around league average, both batting average and OPS. Vinny's, yes, having a disappointing season, but it's not a bad year in totality. But you look at those clutch moments, and the only thing I can point to is you're gripping it. You know, you're feeling the pressure. You understand that our offense sucks. I'm a big reason why, and I'm going to change it right now with one swing, and then you pop out to the opposite field, and no action happens on the base paths.
Would that be true for Sal? I mean, he's 35 years old. He's been around for a long time. He's been in the biggest moments.
Yeah, Salvi, I was saying they pitch him a little bit differently. You're seeing more up it in, trying to get ground balls, not letting Salvi extend those, you know, pitches down in a way that normally get him, that he's sitting on. You're not seeing that as often in those big spots with runners in scoring position. Case in point tonight, two on with one out, ground ball to the left side, inning ending 5-4-3 double play. So I think the ground ball numbers in those spots are up for Salvi.
The last thing I'll offer on Sal, big Sal supporter, is he's barreling the ball this year really hard. 13% barreled balls. He hasn't done that since 2021.
Same with Vinny. Vinny's barrel numbers are up across his career. I think that was a big focus for him going into the offseason as well. He's got arbitration coming up. So, hey, I understand why you want to hit for more power. You make more money this upcoming offseason, but it's not benefiting the team thus far.
Right. Moral of the story, hopefully things have a regression to the mean and, luck's on their side. Thanks, Vern.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Great phone call. Nice to hear from you. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7965. Yeah, listen, you know, the barrel numbers, the hard hit numbers, those can be very enticing, attractive. And more times than not, the harder you hit the ball, the better the outcome is going to be. But especially in Kansas City, you guys have watched enough high-quality baseball over the decades, enough, you know, 85 and 2015. Those squads weren't loaded with thumpers. But what they did do is put the ball in play. You know, Vinny's strikeout numbers are as high as they've been in his career. And you know what? I don't always need you to barrel it up and hit it 115 miles per hour. Sometimes, just a little duck snort to the opposite field. Just put the ball in play. Let the scoreboard dictate the approach. I'm not always diving into your StatCast numbers. Just do the job. He's not doing the job so far this season, but you make some great points, and you bring a great perspective. I really appreciate it. And I love Salvi, too. Salvi tonight picks up his 300th career double. Sixth player in franchise history to reach 300 doubles. And he's just the 23rd catcher in baseball history to get 300. Let's go to Troy in Raymore. Troy, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. How you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good, brother. Are you catching any of the Ohtani versus Judge tonight?
No, I'm pretty locked in on Royals and now this.
I know you are.
I got the Giants
Ohtani
game on the screen right
tonight,
now.
Or has. But anyways, man, I got to tell you, man, Salvi,
quick pitch.
We got to give him respect. I hear a lot of callers calling in saying bench him, bring up the other younger guys. I think he's going to pull off a slump. I do. Do you agree with that by any chance?
I do. Yeah, I do. I mean, the track record says, and like you said, and I have enough respect for him to say I'll give him some more time.
Look,
I'm not benching him, I'll tell you that right now.
Right, we have to look more deep into it. What's he doing for the clubhouse? You know he's got to be sparking these guys. I think bringing Jack up, obviously I told you that before, hopefully in the next couple weeks. I know he's got a two-week stint in Omaha, and we'll see what he does. I know he had a good game tonight. But when he comes, I've watched videos of him. He is a beast. He's a beast.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And we need him up here for the team, you know, and the camaraderie, if you will. And I think Salvi's going to be a big part of that, being the captain and whatnot, of leading these guys. He's in a slump, man, but I think he's going to do it, man.
All right, Troy. Well, we have you down. I don't know about all of us, but thanks for the phone call. I'm with you. I believe in Salvi. I believe in the track record. If anybody's going to turn it around, it's a future Hall of Famer. I've said it before. I'll reiterate it one more time. If you would have told me on the day that Salvi signed that extension that the final year of that deal, 58 games into the season, would be the first time we go, maybe he's not earning every single dime of that contract, I would have called you crazy. Signing a catcher at that age to that long of a deal, man, you are going to regret that quick. And I don't think anybody listening has regretted that contract one day. John Sherman, who paid that contract, Dayton Moore, who made it happen, nobody. I don't know how you would regret that contract. It's thoroughly impressive what a 35-year-old has done while catching, while carrying a franchise for the better part of a decade. Now, yeah, if I'm going to ride with anyone outside of Bobby Witt Jr. on this squad, yeah, the great number 13, I'll sit in the catbird seat with him any day of the week. Troy, thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Batman in Kansas City. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan as the Royals drop game one of the Tigers. 7-5 the final. Batman, go for it.
How you doing, Vern? You know what? There's nothing on this planet that's going to punk this team except that baseball roller coaster. I'm telling you that you have to go through growing pains. Like the first caller said, we only got a third of this season in, and we've had a couple real tests with the boys, but we haven't really stirred the chemistry right to the point where we can drink it and have what we need in some of these situations. The roller coaster is what's getting to us right now. Our pitching has been solid all the way through, and Bobby's going to be solid. You know that. Everybody else is going to join on. I like the way India's snapping around. I'm telling you that playing the Tigers at this point right now is perfect for us, because this first third before the All-Star break, and that's what I'd like to see Jack and Stack come in. I would like to have seen him on a walk-off situation, like right about now. But he still has to have time to get his head together to do what he needs to do. And I'm telling you that we definitely are going to be in contention, and we need to take the series, just like you said, one step at a time until you climb the mountain and get all gold. Love you, Vern. I'm going to always stay with you, my brother.
I appreciate it. All right, Batman, thank you very much for the phone call. Yeah, here's the thing with Cags. I don't know if he can learn anything at AAA. You know, getting some reps in the outfield, sure, that's going to be nice. He was the designated hitter tonight. But every night I'm watching his at-bats, and he's still chasing outside the zone, and he's not paying for it all that often. He's getting base hits, doubles. I understand chasing outside the zone is going to get exploited at the big league level. Well, he may have to come to the big league level to get that lesson. Does that mean you have to send him back to Omaha after he wears that bucket of cold water that is big league pitching? Yeah, possibly, maybe. Who knows? Maybe not. Batman, thanks for the phone call. Less than 65% of the season remains. Let's go to Brad in Overland Park. Brad, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
How you doing, Vern?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
Good, good.
So I've called in for a question that Patrick, I think it was, had asked. He asked two questions. The first question he asked was, why do you bring in Hoffman one run down? Again, I'm obviously wanted to hear your ask, but we had a day off yesterday. Why do you bring in a rookie in a one-run game against the best team in baseball right now?
As opposed to who? Again, I'm not making the decision, so, you know. But as opposed to who did you want to see there in the eighth?
Well, Vernon, I'm sorry. You obviously know more about this than most people that call in. I don't know. But there had to be somebody who wasn't coming in, and the kid looked like he was going to throw up on the mound to me. I mean, I just don't think that was the right time to bring in. To me, when you bring in up a rookie first game, it should be you're either down, you know, 5 runs or you're up 5 runs, not the seventh inning or whatever it was. I think it was 7th or 8th. In a 1-run game against the best team in baseball. And I'm not, you know. So I'm asking you. I'm really asking you. Do you think that was a good idea?
I don't think the offense did enough to warrant another move. To aggressively attack this win, again, that doesn't mean I'm right. I don't have all the answers, and maybe I present myself like I do.
But
thanks for the phone call. Listen, let's just look at it. You know, you have 2 on with 2 outs in the first, and Drew Waters flies out on a great play by the Tigers right fielder. 2 on with 1 out, and you don't score in the third. 2 on with nobody out, and you don't score in the fourth. 2 on with 1 out, and you don't score in the sixth. Leadoff triple, and you barely score 1 in the 7th. And we're going to, well, you're not. You're being polite about it. I'm not trying to jump down your throat, Brad. But to me, it's not on cue to be Mike Matheny and aggressively chase every single victory, even though the offense is telling you we ain't got it. Doesn't mean I'm right, right? Okay, you want to bring in, I don't know if Schreiber's available. You know, Schreiber throws 10 pitches on Wednesday, 30 on Tuesday. Maybe he was available. Sure, okay, you want Schreiber there in the 8th. Urseg's on the IL. Zerpa went 3 straight in the Red Series, so I don't think you're turning to him. You're not going to go to your closer with your team down 1 in the 8th. So that's 1, 2, 3. You threw 4. I mean, that's the pitching staff. That's everybody. Am I missing anybody? Steven Cruz? Okay. Okay, maybe Steven Cruz. Okay, you want Steven Cruz, which, okay, Cruz pitched on Monday, pitched again on Tuesday. Gave up a run on Tuesday. Oh, okay, well, whatever. Steven Cruz. Let's say Steven Cruz was the answer. Okay, well, maybe things would have turned out differently. To me, I'm looking at this offense saying, guys, can you do something? Now, Seth Lugo's back off the IL. He can't finish 4. You know, Lynch and Bolin and Clark. Man, Taylor Clark got the job done. Taylor Clark made a pretty good case to be the guaranteed foods player of the game. You go 2 for 11 with runners in scoring position. I just watched Mike Matheny, and I've watched so many other managers do this so often where, yeah, you chase every win. And, you know, there's a part of me that respects it and a part of me that understands where you're coming from. But you do have another game tomorrow. And then on Sunday, I know you have the off day on Monday. Sure, it'd be great to get Andrew Hoffman in a blowout. I haven't seen very many blowouts. I've seen the Royals blow out. I mean, today's what, the 10th time all year they've scored 5 runs? I mean, you sit around long enough, I mean, Andrew Hoffman's never going to be used. First time, by the way, first time all season the Royals have lost a game in which they've scored 5 or more runs. Now 9-1. Hey, again, I just give you my opinions, my thoughts on the game. Doesn't mean I'm always right, but no, as I'm managing along with the game, I was so disgusted in the 8th inning, I'm not thinking about, oh, we're right there, baby. It didn't feel right there. But that's me. Maybe I had a bad attitude tonight. Appreciate the phone call. Wish I had a better answer for you. I don't, though. Let's go to Chuck in Pleasant Hill. Chuck, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey. So everybody's a GM. I'm a GM. You're a GM. Yep. Every person that calls in is a GM. We got Noah Cameron. We love the guy. He's on the level of, well, we think he is on the level of Bobby Witt.
Oh, no.
I want to trade him for it back.
Well, nobody thinks he's on the level of Bobby Witt Jr. You might be the only person saying that.
I don't know. Bobby's
the best player on the planet. Bobby's a top five player in the sport. Noah Cameron's had a nice four starts. Let's get real here.
I'm being real. He's really, 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 really good. And we need a dang bat on this team. And, hell, we could have won this game tonight if we had a bat. And it's the same thing night after night after night. We lose these games. Our pitchers are dragging us across the finish line, the games we do win, and it's because we only score three runs. I hate talking about this kid from St. Joe. I love him to death because he's a hometown kid.
Let me ask you this real quick. Let me ask you a quick question, Chuck. Noah Cameron, right? The Royals have 6 years of control of Noah Cameron. They lose Seth Lugo in 4 months. They lose Michael Lorenzen in 4 months, and they might lose Chris Bubich in a year and a half. Why would you trade the guy that you have for 6 years?
Because I want to get a Vladimir Guerrero Jr. type.
Noah Cameron's not bringing that. Noah Cameron's not bringing you Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And didn't Vladimir Guerrero Jr. just sign a $500 million deal? He's not going anywhere. Okay, but you're saying a type. You're talking about a type.
No. We have the collateral. We have the pitching collateral to do that, though, is what I'm saying. We got the Noah Cameron, and then we've got all our other pitchers. We can afford to get rid of pitching to bring in a Juan Soto-type batter.
Are you sure? Seth Lugo didn't finish the fourth, and Cole Reagans is still on the IL. You sure? Hunter Harvey's on the IL. Lucas Ursegg's on the IL. Are you sure? No, you're not sure. Chuck, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much for the conversation, buddy. I always enjoy hearing from you. We go to Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead, pal.
Thanks for taking my phone call, Vern. And it was a disappointing night. And, you know, our defense, certainly they're not just not trying, but it's just disappointing sometimes how we just make those errors and we really don't like make up for it on the offensive side. So, the defense certainly needs to be cleaned up. And, you know, I just have two statistics for you that I found. Chris Bubich now has the best ERA in baseball, and Bobby Witt Jr. home run was the 3,000th career home run in Kauffman Stadium history. And I have one question. When is Hunter Harvey going to come back?
Who knows? Appreciate the stats, Garrett.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, Hunter Harvey, who knows, man? I'm done with that. Tell me when he shows up. I don't mean that as a dig at you, Garrett. I'm just sick of waiting around. I did it all last year with him. Man, he was so good to start this season, but you know, I'm just going to assume he's always going to be hurt until I see him on the mound again.
Yeah.
It's disappointing. Yeah.
Hopefully I'm out there soon, Vern.
Yeah, no doubt. Garrett, always nice seeing you out here at the ballpark, buddy. Hope to see you soon. I'm not trying to trash or denigrate Hunter Harvey, but figure it out. I'm not going to, you know, the old cliche, the best ability is availability, and right now you're not available, so I'm sick of talking about you. I'm sick of getting excited about you, sick of mentioning how, hey, when Hunter Harvey was out there, he was the best reliever on the team. Well, barely anybody remembers Hunter Harvey pitching for the Royals. Get healthy, stay healthy, take care of yourself. I don't know what it is. Figure out a way to stay on the field, or this is how we talk about you on the postgame show. Again, 2025, it's a different time. You know, this isn't an evaluation season. You're not building something. You're here to win. Win a division, get to October, get further than you did last year. We're not here to baby people. I'm not here to baby anyone, and I don't think you guys are either. Royals lose 7-5. We take our final quick timeout. We get right back to your phone calls after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Here's the pitch. Fastball laced toward short, pass Sweeney into center, base hit. Pasquantino scores. Salvi rumbles around third. He crosses with a slide. Two-run single, Drew Waters. He attacks the first pitch and makes it a one-run game. It's now 4-3 in the bottom of the third inning.
The third time tonight in which, well, that was the second of three instances in which the Royals found themselves down one. Drew Waters, first pitch slider out over the dish. He roasts it up the gut. Just a great swing from a ball player that's been on some sort of a tear since getting some real confidence injected into him. It's now been 35 games since Drew Waters won that face-off with MJ Melendez for that outfield spot on the roster. 35 games since MJ Melendez was sent down and Drew Waters stuck around. In those 35 games, Waters batting .305. 13 runs driven in, 15 runs scored. Tonight he drives in three, another multi-hit game, and a gorgeous swing, 110 miles per hour off of the bat, right back up the gut, just like the old man taught you. Try to hit it back to the pitcher. He drives in Vinny, drives in Salvi, made it 4-3 Detroit at the end of three. Unfortunately, the final score, Tigers 7, Royals 5. Game 1 goes to the team in first place in this division. Royals now 30-28. They remain in fourth place in the American League Central. 8 games back of the front-running Tigers. Royals, the 7th best record in the American League. The outside looking in of the postseason. Let's go to Grant in Overland Park. Grant, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, how are you doing?
Doing all right. I appreciate you hanging on.
What's up? I have a question about the lineup. Why can't we just change up the lineup a little bit? I understand with days off and DHs, but how about Garcia leading off and then India and then Witt? And then, you know, I think that would be a little bit better, wouldn't you think?
Well, I think we all have our own ideas of how we'd throw the lineup out there, Grant. I appreciate the phone call. But I'm not saying I agree with it, but you traded for Jonathan India and you anointed him the leadoff hitter back in December. You know, I mean, if Mikel was hitting like this, I don't think you acquire Jonathan India because Mikel would have been your leadoff hitter. You know, the whole lineup stuff. Ideally, of course I'd move Mikel up in the lineup. I'd move India down in the lineup. Yes, of course. But we've said that now for weeks. Almost a month now, I've said, if this Mikel would have shown up last year, Jonathan India wouldn't be in Kansas City. But this Mikel didn't show up at all last year outside of the first series. So you needed a leadoff hitter. You needed someone on base in front of Bobby Witt Jr. And here in the month of May, Jonathan India's done just that. Again, an on-base percentage this month, right around his career average on-base percentage of .353. But hey, I'm very pro Michael Garcia. How can you not be? He extends his season-best hitting streak tonight to now 14 games. Garcia's batting .320 on the year. That's the ninth-best batting average in the majors. So yeah, I'm with you. Move him up. Go for it. Do I expect them to do it? No, I don't. David in Kansas City, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Thanks for putting me on, Josh. A couple things. I consider myself a pretty big fan of Daniel Lynch IV, and I can see kind of now exactly what's going on, which I didn't understand during the game. We've got some IL problems, and he may be called upon to come in here in a couple days. So we couldn't really, you know, and I see why, you know, you're using the percentages lefty and righty, but he had a pretty good outing tonight, Daniel Lynch IV. And then Kyle Isbell is batting .280. I still question why he should be ninth all the time. I guess he likes ninth. And that's really all I've got tonight. A terrible, frustrating game.
Thanks for the phone call. Kyle Isbell on the season batting .276 with an OPS right around league average, which I'll take all day from Kyle Isbell. Izzy tonight, 2-for-4, his 8th multi-hit game this season, his 4th this month. The Royals Gold Glove caliber center fielder is batting .322 here in the month of May. I like Izzy in the 9 spot. I'm not begging for more at-bats from Kyle Isbell. I think he's doing a bang-up job where he's at. Let's go to Benjamin, who's on 96.5 The Fan, as the Royals fall to 2 games above .500, on pace for 83 wins this season. Benjamin, go ahead.
Well, I just think that we had, what was that pitcher that we had in the 8th, Hoffman? He was terrible tonight. And we had a chance to win the game when, like you were saying, 4-3. And India made that mistake at second, dropped the ball. We would have had an out on that. And
yeah, but he made up for it. He made a great inning-ending double play.
Yeah, but I just think the mistakes on India's part, we brought him in.
I mean, he offset
know
it.
What he's doing.
Yeah, he offset you know? It. I mean, that didn't bite you. Yeah, it was a bad play by India, but he picked himself up.
It could have been an out, yeah.
Yeah, but it was an out two batters later, so no harm.
And
no
I
fault.
Just, I could just tell tonight that Lugo didn't have it. First inning, I mean, he doesn't pitch like that. Something wasn't right with him tonight.
Sure. Yeah, I agree.
So
yeah, he threw 3 meatballs up there. You don't see him throwing it center as often as he did in those first 2 frames, no doubt. Benjamin, thank you very much for the phone call. Let's go to Evan in Manhattan. Evan, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, love the show.
Thanks.
I was just calling to give some love to Drew Waters.
Nice.
Our team is so young, and it is so nice to see our young guys come up from AAA. Especially with our depleted farm system that we've had. It's been kind of noticeable this season that we don't have a lot of depth. So it's good to see.
Well, not a lot of depth at AAA, but they got some pieces down in A-ball, AA. There's some ball players down there. It's not as bad as it's been, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. I just don't understand the rush to trade all these people and what your thoughts on it. It kind of seems like the pieces are starting to come together, and it's been fun to watch.
Yeah,
so I'll listen
Evan,
out there. Thanks.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you. Yeah, what's and it bothered me a lot last week, and that's why I've just been challenging people to say their name. Who are you talking about? Quit with the offense. Because again, man, India's, again, like I mentioned, numbers are starting to align with his career numbers. So India, okay. Yeah, defensively, you want more, but India's getting it done. You mentioned Drew Waters. Michael Garcia has been a godsend. Bobby's still an all-star. He's just not getting anything to hit because the guys behind him aren't doing any damage. We all love Freddie Fermin. Kyle Isbell, I just went on about how well he's performing. Freddie Fermin's holding it down, coming off the bench. Mark Canna's getting it done against lefties. You know, the offense that we crush, that I crush on a nightly basis, the offense has a lot of guys that we both like. What it doesn't have is power. And we can blame Hunter Renfro. We can blame MJ Melendez. We can blame Michael Massey. We can blame the front office. And we can blame quite a few people for the lack of thump. But the only guys right now that are partaking in these games that I need thump from, Vinny Salvi. It's unfair to put it all on two guys. But where else should it go? Front office? Okay. Should have put more pieces around Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby, and India? We all know they tried, right? Okay, they tried. You want to give them a gold star? Now, thankfully, they missed out on Anthony Santander. Thankfully, they missed out on Jurickson Profar, or else God knows what this season would look like right now. So the complaints about the offense, it really comes down to two, three guys, at least of the guys that are still here. We can complain all we want about Renfro and Melendez, two guys that were expected to provide some extra base power and obviously did not do that, and that's why neither one of them are here. That's why Michael Massey, you know, who knows how long his leash is, as he brings absolutely zero thump to the ballpark. I'm not expecting Isbell or Rave or Waters or Garcia or India to provide thump. So you know what? Yeah, maybe it is an unfair spot to put Salvi and Vinny in, but they were in that exact same spot darn near all of last year, and they came through consistently. They were Herculean last year. And this year, they're anything but. I appreciate the phone call, Evan. Hey, another game coming up tomorrow as Michael Wacha squares off with Tarek Skubal. I know, it sends a chill up your spine thinking of the best pitcher on the freaking planet staring down this Royals lineup. They've beaten him once, right? They beat Logan Webb. They beat Hunter Green. Maybe they get to the reigning American League Cy Young Award winner again coming up tomorrow. It's a 3:10 first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 2 o'clock. I'll have your chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Royals game. So make sure you're listening tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Again, it's a Saturday. People are busy. You got a real good chance of getting through to be the contestant on the pitch clock. You got a real good chance at winning those tickets tomorrow. I can't imagine that many people are even listening to my On Deck Show. So do yourself a favor. Get hooked up with some tickets. Be listening tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. Thanks to JT Noah for a bang-up job back at the studio. Thanks to all of you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Friday night, Kansas City. Take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.